Hey, happy Monday, everybody. Matthew Galogli here, and today I'm going to talk to you about how to build a self-leading organization so you can take an extended vacation. I'm not talking about the extended vacation where you don't check in on Monday or check in on Sunday. I'm talking about like taking 10 days to the Mediterranean on a cruise ship where there's limited cell phone and Wi-Fi access, and your business does better than when you are not there. Let me explain. Again, my name is Matthew Galogli. I'm the president of SRP Medical Marketing, and we focus on helping medical practices scale to seven figures and beyond, specifically in the cash-based arena. Doesn't matter if you have cash-based services or not, we can help you at it. If not, we can help you scale it. So let's talk about scaling your practice, and we're going to talk about creating a self-leading organization. Going to move that a little bit there. And this is a really important topic to me because, quite frankly, I am an obsessed workaholic. I love to work. I get a tremendous amount of value from working. I get a tremendous amount of self-worth from working. I enjoy working and I enjoy working hard. And, I think it's probably because I come from my father was born in 1921. He went through the Great Depression. He was a World War II Marine, and he was part of that whole, really hard work gets you ahead in America kind of thing. And I truly believe that. I do truly believe that the right kind of hard work moves you forward. But today, what I want to share with you is I want to talk to you about how you can leverage the hard work of others in your organization. And no, I'm not going to pitch you an MLM. But I am going to teach you how to create this self-leading organization. So let me tell you a quick little story. So when I started my first medical practice in 2014, we came out of the chute the first few days that we were open in January. We did over $70,000. We did in February of 2014, we did $130,000. I think we were closed a week. And by April, we did $200,000 in a month. I don't know what the hell we were doing. I'd never been in the medical space before. And a lot of people started asking us, well, what was your secret? What was the trick? What was the hack? Was it your great marketing? Was it your doctors? Was it your procedures? And it was none of that because, quite frankly, up until April and May, we were doing it on pure energy and effort. And I was absolutely exhausted. I was so exhausted that by the time May came along, my partner kept saying, let's open another location. Let's open another location. Let's open another location. And I could tell you that was the last thing I wanted to do because I was in charge of the operations. See, I was the chief operating officer, CEO of the company. And I did not. I'm like, oh my God, I can't work any harder. So I had a long conversation with my mentor, Rob Berkeley, who has since passed away. But Rob said, you need to be able to do a values oil change. And I said, what is a values oil change? And that's what I'm going to teach with you today. And it was probably the biggest thing that we did in order to create a self-leading organization. And it's not just going to be about putting values in place, but I'm going to show you how to utilize it and how to do a values oil change on a regular basis. So what happened was that my mentor, Rob, said, okay, you need to figure out what are the values of your organization. And values of the organization can vary, but basically, let me tell you what they were for our practices. Now, remember, we had a large group of people, myself and my partner, we had never been in the medical space before. So there was a big learning curve for us about all the different things that we had to understand with medical. So we came up with utilizing the input of myself, my business partner, the controller, my doctor, and a couple of other key employees. We came up with four values that became the tenet of our organization. And those four values were reliability, accuracy, teamwork, and enthusiasm. It's spelled the acronym RATE. Okay. I give that kudos to Earl Maxwell, I should say. He actually came up with that acronym, rearranged the letters. And so what was really important to us is reliability. So I'm not going to go through each one of these, but basically for me, like I'm an old school. My dad taught me how to spit shine shoes when I was, 6 years old. So you can imagine, I'm one of these people that like if I'm 5 minutes early for an appointment, I'm late. I like to know that people are going to be there. I like people to know that people are going to be accurate. Teamwork to me is about, helping each other out in times of need. It's not necessarily about getting my work done and leaving everybody else hanging. And then enthusiasm, I have to have people on my team that are enthusiastic. Okay, so that's kind of a quick version of this. And so The next thing he had my mentor Rob Berkeley asked me to do is he said, then what we're going to do is we're going to identify the type of culture you want to have. And so basically we took a half day and we went over to my golf course that had a meeting room at Piper Glen. And what we did was we spent over a half day hammering this out. We talked about our vision of the organization. Okay. And that really came from myself and from my partner. So we talked about what our vision was for the organization, how many patients we wanted to treat, what kind of facilities we wanted to have, where we wanted to have those facilities located, what kind of growth plan did we have in mind. Now, mind you, we just had one location at the time. Then the second part of this is we talked about the kind of culture that we wanted to have. Now, culture is very, very important because culture dictates everything. Okay. Culture and values of the organization dictate everything. And you have to create a culture. And there's a lot of great stuff out there on culture. You can check out. There's some great interviews on, I'll think of it right here. But there's some great interviews with the CEO of Netflix, and he talks extensively about their culture. Go on Masters of Scale. That's a great podcast that you should be listening to. But listen to Masters of Scale, Reid Hoffman, who founded LinkedIn and part of the original PayPal Mafia. And they do a number of these interviews in season one about culture. And culture is everything. And so we worked really hard to define that culture. And one of the things you have to do is not just define the culture, but you've got to check on the culture daily. So what the big mistake people make is they do these things that create their culture, they create their values, and then they never go back to the document. And that's a big mistake. You need to identify the culture of your organization and you need to check on it. He said, and this is what Rob said. He said, culture is like leftovers in the fridge. Left alone and not checked on, they get moldy and smelly. So as a leader, my job was four things. Culture managing, okay? So that was through metrics. Develop culture managing. Managing metrics, develop self, and develop others. Those are the four jobs if you are the CEO of your organization. I hate to tell you this, but it's not necessarily about you becoming better at a particular procedure. It comes down to four things: managing your culture, managing your metrics, developing yourself, and developing others. That is your job. Okay. Now, you might sit there, but man, I want to treat patients. Most doctors I know are pretty much tired of treating patients. They want to do something else, okay? But this is your job, okay? Now, if you don't have a staff, then the first thing is you've got to develop yourself so that you become more attractive as a place to work, okay? And you still have to be measuring your metrics. I don't care if you're the only one in your practice. You have to measure your metrics, okay? We'll talk more about that in another video, in another podcast, okay? So that was the first thing. And we hammered those things out pretty extensively. And like I said, we came up with those four values: reliability, accuracy, teamwork, and enthusiasm. Now, here came the next part of this. Is the rest of the staff knew that we were meeting and they were like, oh God, here we go. The bosses are going to come out with some corporate speak, which always cracked me up because we were like a staff of eight people. And, you know, we're going to wind up, you know, with this corporate speak and people are going to be, you know, they're going to be changing all these things. You know what? We did. We changed a bunch of things and we started really hammering home culture and we started hammering home our values. So we laid out the values like most people do, laid out the vision and everybody's like, yahoo. And then the next day people are like, yay. And by day three, people are like, you know, whatever. So what we did is we had to then constantly reaffirm and reintroduce the values of our organization. One of the ways we did that was in our morning staff meeting. We had a morning huddle every single day for 10 minutes, and we had a theme for the day, and we talked about one of the values. Okay, the value today is reliability. And what I want you to do is come tomorrow morning, and I want you to say, okay, here's somebody that did a great job with regards to reliability. Not everybody has to have one, but we want to identify one person who was the reliability champion that day, right? The next day, okay, we're going to focus on accuracy. Who in the next meeting? So we talked about those values each and every single day. And then the next component of is that we managed, we led, we hired, and we disciplined based on our values and culture. To me, what I have learned in 25 years of being an entrepreneur is culture fit outweighs skill set any day of the week. Now, there's a lot of people that'll argue with me on that. One of them was my former business partner. He was all about who was the superstar. And I've always found that if you hire nothing but superstars, you wind up with a bunch of people who you can only have one superstar on a team. And that competitiveness can actually lead to a lot of backstabbing and things like that. So I'm more interested in culture fit. When I'm hiring somebody on my team now, if they don't fit with the culture first and foremost, then they're not going to be able to make it with me. It's just that simple. So everything I do, even when it comes to, you know, when I was single and I was dating, I wanted to make sure that that person had a culture fit for what my thoughts and my beliefs were. Now, this doesn't, you know, people are like, well, what about from a political spectrum and all of that? I can tell you right now, I guess you'd call me a Christian, right? You know, I'm a believer, but I've had Muslims work with me, work well, Mormons, Jewish people, atheists, agnostics. I've had all of those as clients. Okay. I've had liberal Democrats, hardcore conservative Republicans. I've had Trump supporters. I've had non-Trump supporters. I've had, you name it. I've had them that work for me. It doesn't matter to me about any of that stuff. Okay. That's not my job. My job is just like I said, is personal development, development of my team, managing the culture, and managing the metrics. Those are my four jobs. Okay. So that's it. I didn't, you know, it didn't matter to me about all these other things. I'm not interested. My companies don't take any of that type of position. That's my call. Some of you want to take those positions. That's perfectly your call. That's your culture. Okay. So based on culture, so then what we would do is that we would do this. Okay. So how do you bring culture into play? So first and foremost, we started with the managers. We had them pull out a piece of paper. We tell them this is not a test. And what I want you to do is I want you to write down our values. So I would have staff members do this. Write down the values. Then ask them, what did you learn? What you're going to find is that people have different interpretations of those values. Some of them may not get it 100% right. And that's perfectly fine. This is not a test. Okay. So then let's talk about the values. And the next time I need you to know them, remember, key here is we're not here to shame you. So when I would introduce this, I would then go to the staff. Okay, write them down. If you don't remember them, perfectly fine, but I expect you to know them next time. Because they had to understand those values. They had to know those values. And I took it to another degree as we talked about definitions and what it meant and what it didn't mean and all of that. But the next thing we did, this is really, really important. This is how you create a self-leading organization. In the next meeting, what we do is we do what's called an oil change process. Now, we would do this sometimes every week, always every month, okay? And we would ask them these questions. You're going to want to write these down. We would ask them, measured against our values, what's working? Okay, let them take time to write that down. Measured against our values, what's not working in the organization? That's really powerful right there. Those first two is the reason why I always start with the positive is most people bring a list of all the shit that's wrong. And what I want you to do is I want you to create an environment where people can understand that there's a lot of things that are going well. Okay, so first, ask them measured against our values, what's working well in the organization? Measured against the values, what's not working in the organization? And then these last two questions. Our last three questions. For the values that are working, what can we do to supercharge things? For the values that are working, what can we do to supercharge things? Okay. Now, this, and I'll go to the next two here in just a minute. This third one is so important because most people want to spend bulk of their time on the 80% of the things that only impact 20% of the business. I want you to spend the bulk of your time on the 20% of the things that impact 80% of your business. This question here does exactly that. It goes to the heart of what's working well. And when you find something that's working well, we play a game in marketing called Feed the Stud. So in marketing parlance, we run a bunch of different ads and we find one that's the control that works. So then what we do is we put the bulk of our money behind the control and then we test something against it to try and beat that. And what we do is we have a saying of you feed the studs and you starve the ponies, okay? And the point of this is that you want to put the bulk of your money and energy behind the things that are working and not worry too much about the things that aren't, okay? Okay, the last two questions. So remember, for the values that are working, what can we do to supercharge things? That's question three. Question four, if things are not working based on our values, what can be done to correct it? Okay. And then the last one, is there anything else? Okay, measure against our values, what's working, measure against our values, what's not working in the organization. For the values that are working, what can we do to supercharge things? If things are not working, what can we do to correct it? And is there anything else? Those five questions tied back to the values of your organization will create a self-leading organization, which allows you then to take extended time off, which I want to end with this, okay? Your job is to stay fresh. Your job, again, is managing the values, managing the metrics, personal development, and development of others. Those are your four top jobs. The only way you are going to take time off is by having self-leading organizations that when you are gone, they are doing things exactly the way you want to do it. Like we have scripts for everything, right? And one of the things we have is reliability and accuracy. Those are two of them, right? You have to be accurate with the script. You have to follow the script. It's non-negotiable. It's part of the values of our organization. It's non-negotiable about being reliable and knowing that the script, because I know that if you follow the script, people will convert. It's that simple. So you want to look for these things. You want to look for people that are going to match the values of your organization so that you can scale and you can grow. Sometimes if you've been around for a little bit of time and you've been building this on guts and energy and you start to introduce this, you're going to have some staff members that may not be very happy about this. It's okay. Sometimes people are with you for a season. Rarely are they with you forever. Okay. Think about that. Sometimes people are just with you for a season. Rarely are they with you forever. And especially in today's day and age. So what I want you to do is it's about the values and the culture of your organization. Because when you really identify that and you get really good at communicating that, it's going to bring in the perfect type of patient. It's going to bring in the perfect type of employee or associate. It's going to make your life a hell of a lot easier, and it's going to make it a lot more enjoyable. So that's what I have for today. I appreciate you. If you are catching this live on LinkedIn or Facebook, thank you so much. If you're catching this on a replay on YouTube, thank you so much. Or if you're listening to this on our podcast, The Practice Profit System, thank you so much for that. Any way that you can share this with your friends, I would greatly appreciate it. As always, if you would like a copy of my book, just go to srpmedicalmarketing.com/book. That's srpmedicalmarketing.com/book. That is the anatomy of a seven-figure medical practice. And in there are all the systems that we use to scale our practices and other practices to over seven figures plus a year. And that can be yours for free. That's it. That's what I have for today. Have a wonderful day. I will talk to you very soon.